You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out
door. Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
You want some more?
Welcome to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. It is Michelle Anna Jordan. And hey, how about that moon, huh? If you haven't been outside since it has risen, turn up your radio and go look outside. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I believe this is the Hunter Moon, the most beautiful full moon of the entire year, I think. Anyway, make sure you check that out. It's gorgeous. And tomorrow night, it's going to be even more beautiful because it's tomorrow night. It rises near when it's first coming up near the horizon. It's just huge and red. So tonight, it's a rather momentous show. It is the 17th. Anniversary of Mouthful. 17 years of my life. Oh my goodness. And I am returning to the very beginnings in a certain way. We're not in a construction studio. And in fact, my guest is not dressed as the Swami that Johnny Carson would occasionally turn himself into.
Yeah.
But it is Steve Garner, who is my very first guest and is one of my radio mentors. Welcome to Mouthful.
Whoa, those many years ago.
Did you ever think 17 years later we'd be doing the same thing?
The Clinton era.
That's right, it was. And here we are on the verge of the middle of the Obama era, perhaps.
History or tragedy? We'll find out soon.
Yeah, history, tragedy, or very black comedy.
Well, so, congratulations. You've aged beautifully.
Well, thank you.
Really? It must be that olive oil you rub on your skin.
It must be that. I stay out of the sun, but did you know I'm wearing the same necklace I wore on the first anniversary show?
I recognize this.
And I'm dressed in black.
It's a powerful necklace. Did you ever tell the story of where you got the necklace?
Not on the air.
Is it appropriate for
tell? Oh, it's absolutely appropriate. And you can see this earring. And the earring, we should describe it. It's pounded tin. And the earring is of a bat. It's a bat pounded tin. And I actually don't remember where I got the earrings, and I've since given one to New York.
Oh.
You know, whenever you visit New York, it extracts its price.
You didn't get them when you became a member of Bat Conservation International?
No, these were not Bat Conservation International gifts. I do have Bat Conservation International earrings. But these are, I believe, from Thailand, and they're a little bigger. But I went to dinner at the home of a former professor at Sonoma State, who had been a good friend all along. I always made friends with my professors. And he invited me to his house for dinner. He had moved from San Francisco up to Healdsburg. And his wife is an architect in Healdsburg. And I had not met her before, I don't think. And we were sitting down, and she suddenly noticed my earrings. We were sitting down outside. And she said, Oh, look at those earrings. I'll be right back. And she goes into the house, and she comes back with this incredible pounded tin necklace that is a direct match to the earrings.
It is.
So I pretty much wear it every Halloween or thereabouts. For me, Halloween is like Christmas in that there's at least 12 days of celebration.
So you start early, don't you?
Oh, I do. Yes. Right. Yes. I mean, it's an opportunity to wear all the clothes in my closet that I sometimes don't normally wear. Anyway, I do have on the same, not the same necklace as the first show, but the same necklace as the first anniversary show. And do you remember who you were on that show with?
Oh, sure I do. No, I don't.
Les Blank.
Oh, it was Les Blank. Yes. Mr. Garlic.
Yes,
the Garlic
it was
movie.
Les Blank. We're talking about the Garlic movie, and I have a great picture of the three of us.
Oh, my gosh. So. I'm so glad you have such a good memory. Well, it is your show.
It is my show, but I do. I'm blessed and cursed with a good memory. And believe it, at 3 in the morning, it's usually more curse than blessing. Yeah. But, you know, if you're writing an article or, you know, playing trivia,
that's good. Well, I got you a present.
Blessing. You did?
Yeah.
Should I open it now?
Well, you know, actually, I don't know that it's appropriate for the radio.
Okay, well, I can
Well,
open it
later. Might be. Yeah, you'll have to decide. Maybe if you take a break, you could open it and see whether you think it's appropriate for the radio. Okay.
Okay.
Kind of a cryptic.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, the suspense builds. we should get some eerie music going here.
Yeah.
So, we probably should talk about why you are one of my radio mentors.
I don't know.
You don't?
No.
Well, there are several reasons, but one of the primary, I mean, other than, you know, you're fabulous on the radio.
Well, I've been around for a long time.
And, well, you have the longest running, it used to be the longest running food and wine show in Northern California, but I think it's probably the state and quite possibly the country.
Well, not the country, because I know there's some real old guys, I mean, older than me, that have been, there's a guy out in Boston. Outside Boston, he was doing a radio show since the 1960s, 70s, about 45 years, doing a food and wine show. Actually, it might have been New Hampshire, but I haven't kept up with it, haven't kept track. And then there's a gal in Denver that's been doing a radio show. She started in 1985.
Oh,
so food? She's been at it. Do you know the gal in...
What's her name? I don't know. I might.
It'll come to me.
I'm getting a picture of somebody in my head.
But I don't know.
I think I know who you mean.
But as far as the West Coast...
Yes.
The free West Coast, I think we're the longest show on
the air. Yeah, 25 years.
Yeah, we started in October 87.
And John Ash was your co-host from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we started a recipe contest right in the beginning. We decided to kind of dive off the high dive into the deep end. And our first contest was December 1987. We did fruitcake. We said, look. Why not? Well, we said, this show's not going to last. Let's do fruitcake and get it over with and have fun. And we'll be gone next year. And you know that fruitcake? It's still sitting on my desk. The winner
the original?
Fruitcake. The original fruitcake. No, it's not. I'm kidding.
But. I thought maybe you had it bronzed.
I pass it around to people year in, year out. No, we did fruitcake the first year. And here we are 26 years later, 26. Still doing recipe contests.
Yeah, and now the recipe contest is coming up next weekend.
Yeah.
And there is still time if you have a fabulous bacon recipe.
You got to say that loud.
I think you can whisper
bacon!
It and get too many. Bacon recipes. You can still submit. And we'll be talking towards the end of the show. We'll talk about how you can submit them. So get your pencils. I've mouthful guests, mouthful listeners trained. You know, I don't give all the pertinent information till the end of the show so that they, if they're driving, they can get somewhere so they can pull over, get home. And I did this out of frustration. I would be listening to a show, and somebody would say something, and I'd want that information, but I wasn't sitting there prepared to write it down, and then they'd never repeat it. So what I do is I repeat all the pertinent contact information and details at the end of the hour so people have time to get their pencils.
You have learned well, Grasshopper.
I can't believe you called me Grasshopper. Because I was just thinking about that.
What?
I was just driving, and I was thinking, you know, different friends who are doing different things and, you know, that are all really stable. And I'm thinking, God, all my friends are ants, and here I am dressing up again for Halloween. I'm such a grasshopper.
But have you ever dressed up as a grasshopper for Halloween?
I have not.
Oh, well, there's a costume.
There we go. I have two new costumes that I'm not going to do them this year. But
have you ever dressed up as any insect?
No, but I incorporated an insect into one of my costumes. For several years running, I did flowers. And I'm actually wondering if maybe by next year I might be able to get a store, like a thrift store that's into Halloween, to do a show of my costumes if I donate them and let them auction them off. But my first flower was a black calla lily.
Oh, my.
And it's still one of my all-time favorite costumes. And it was black satin, yellow satin, and marabou for the stamen, green. And then the next year I did a white iris. And it was white velvet with purple marabou for the fuzzy part, that, you know, because it was a bearded iris, of course. And green velvet, almost like a tuxedo dress, green velvet. And I had a grasshopper attached to the green velvet stem of the dress.
Your costumes are so mystically poetic. I dress up like Pee Wee Herman or something.
Well, you know,
yours are so thoughtful and insightful.
Well, I don't know if they're thoughtful. What usually would happen to me, and happened to me for several years. It's like, because I'd started my catering business, and, you know, I had children, and it's like, no, just the kids' costumes. And about 5 days before Halloween, I would get this idea. It's like, oh, my God, a black calla lily or whatever. And suddenly my entire life would become sewing this extremely elaborate costume. And I try to hold back a little bit. I try not to go too insane. I did a beautiful, beautiful Pele costume, which is, I did that one in 1982 with... dozens of yards of orange satin, and then I took yellow and red satin and applique on this huge cape, applique flames in yellow and red, and then did drying lava with black glitter and a cone and lots of marabou. And that was before I was studying hula, so I've always been very interested in lava. Anyway, how did we get to Halloween costumes when I was going to tell you why you are such a radio mentor?
But this was much more interesting, the history of your costumes.
Well, I really love that. Oh, and I'm going to, the two that I want to do, you asked me about grasshopper.
Yeah.
You said I'd learned well grasshopper. That's what we got here. I have figured out how to make a very beautiful rain cloud. And I just figured it out. I've been wanting to do this for about 3 years, and all the ideas I've had have been pretty complicated.
Are we talking cumulus nimbus here?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. With the lightning going off in the cloud. So I've got it figured out, because the Urban Garden, which is the store in Montgomery Village, they have strands of battery-operated lights that blink. So I just figured out that part of it. Anyway, I want to do...
That's the great joy of being a writer. You have a lot of free time to think about these things.
Yes, or it's one of the great benefits of having insomnia. The other costume I want to do is a voodoo doll.
Voodoo doll.
Yeah, it would be a really good costume for an election year. You know, I really don't have time to.
Are we talking complete with pins all over yourself?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. And this comes from what year was it? It was the year that Clinton, 1992. A friend came over to watch the first debate between President Bush and Bill Clinton, and I had gone out on a date. The first and only date with this one particular person who's probably still terrified of me. But he made a mistake at brunch. We went to brunch, and the election came up, and he says, well, I haven't decided who I'm voting for. I'm keeping my options open. If you remember that election, it's like, what options?
So
you have no options.
After that, the trap door opened. He was gone.
He was gone. Uh-huh. He was gone, but he stayed for the debate. He told me there was no way he would watch the debate. He would lower himself to watch the debate, and he stayed to watch the debate. But my friend...
So was this a fix-up date, Michelle?
I met him at a French event. He spoke French to me, so I went out with him.
Oh.
But, you know, that's not always an indicator. But my friend Jenny and I had a voodoo doll and with black and white pins, and every time Clinton... spoke, we were giving him really good things, and every time George Bush spoke, we were doing very bad things to him. I think we terrified this poor guy. So I thought, a voodoo doll, why didn't I ever think about this? You know, because I bring back voodoo doll kits from New Orleans. They make great gifts, and they use a lot of Spanish moss, and they're very beautiful. I thought, oh my gosh. And then you just use nails instead of pins, and you paint the heads. We put marbles or something on the heads to make them white or black, and then you have, you know, good luck and hemorrhoids and all these different kinds of things. So it would be a great costume.
And me with Pee Wee Herman. Boy, I've really got to up my game for Halloween.
You know, the world needs Pee Wee Hermans.
Yeah. I found these great platform white shoes one year.
Oh, then you're obligated.
That's why. I was at a thrift store. They were, $1.99.
You're obligated.
And the wheels started turning.
Of course. And that's how it happens. But then you win for holiday cards.
Well, that's true.
You know, I don't go the route you go with holiday cards.
I do.
But back to why you're my radio mentor. The first.
But I have to tell you something before I. This is important. The reason I also did Pee Wee Herman is because my mom insisted in 1972, when I had to fly back east for a wedding, that I buy a suit. I'm not a suit person. And at that time, what was everyone wearing? Leisure suits.
Oh, that's right. So you still have a leisure suit.
So I said I would not buy it. My mom said, don't worry, I'll buy it for you. She bought me a green and white checked leisure suit.
Seriously?
That I still have today.
She bought you that to go to a wedding?
Yes, she did, in 1972.
Wow.
And I still have it in my closet, and it looks like it just came off the production line yesterday. And I can wear it again. I've kind of lost some weight, and I can wear my leisure suit.
So are you going to be Pee Wee Herman this year?
Well, no, that's... Well, hmm.
You know?
Well...
There's still time.
I could bring it back. I think people would remember who he is. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Oh. Yeah. Absolutely, they would remember. He's part of the culture.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a real comeback for Pee-wee. I like him a great deal.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Well, this has nothing to do with food, but it's interesting.
That's one of the. That's part of the joy of Mouthful. We can go down a variety of avenues. You know, we can just meander here and meander there. Because I always liken, I would say Mouthful is not a cooking show. I've never thought, people call it a cooking show, I've never thought of it as a cooking show. It's more like a dinner party show.
That's lovely.
And at dinner parties, you talk about things. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, I mean, part of what you talk about.
Can we get a little cocktail piano music in the background?
Oh, we should. Yeah, and cocktails.
What's this producer you have here? She's not doing anything. Shouldn't she be mixing
shaking something? Well, you know that. You can't drink if you're the engineer.
Oh, is that an FCC rule?
FCC rule. Zero tolerance. If you are the one on the board, and that means you can't drink during your
show. But
she
could be taking benzodiazepines, right?
She could, and we'd never know. This is Mary. Mary tonight is filling in for Mouthful's new engineer, relatively new this year, Mike, who is, I believe he is driving to Colorado. For his mama's 90th birthday. Isn't that sweet?
Wow.
So happy birthday.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's Joey, Mouthful's dog, and Joey barks.
Oh, when I clap.
Joey barks whenever anyone claps. That's how he joins in.
I didn't know this.
Yes. He also...
That's very endearing.
He barks during bass lines and drum solos. So it's just how he participates. So sweet. Back to mentorship.
Oh, yes.
I was sitting in the guest waiting room of KSRO when it was on 4th Street. And I know what I was wearing because I do that. And then my first book had come out and I was nervous because I was just doing the press tour. And from the minute I walked in, and we had not met, and from the minute I walked into your studio, you made me so comfortable. You just made me completely at ease and comfortable, and conversation flowed. And that, I think, is the primary responsibility of a host, to keep conversation flowing, to make their guests look good, and to make conversation flow. And you do that as well as anyone ever.
Well, I had a good mentor. My mentor was Johnny Carson.
So my saying that about Johnny Carson and the Magi costume that you wore to the very first Mouthful isn't... Interesting. Yeah. That's it. Well, tell us about that.
No, I grew up with Johnny Carson, like so many other people did, and he always made it seem like he was coming out from behind the curtain, and someone said, "Oh, Johnny, by the way, we're having this on the air tonight." Oh, that's great.
He made it effortless.
Absolutely. You never saw him sweat. You never see him get tongue-tied or embarrassed, or if everything fell apart, he just rolled with it. Yeah. He just, you just felt that he was your best friend, that he was entertaining just you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do that really well.
If I could do it half as well as Johnny does, then I could have a career in this field.
Speaking of career... At the time you started the Good Food Hour, which we should say it's called the Good Food Hour, it's on KSRO AM, and it follows Garden Talk.
That's right.
At the time you started the Good Food Hour, was Garden Talk already on the air?
It was. Yeah, but we had done Garden Talk from 8 till 10 a.m. on Saturday, and then the food show was 10 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't getting as many responses at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. So we said, let's move it up an hour. So then we moved it 9 to 11, and the food show went from 11 till 12. And that was a better move.
Had you, before Garden Talk, had you been doing radio?
I had started radio in 1966.
In the good old days.
Everybody's jaw hits the floor. How old is this guy? It's amazing you can put two words together.
Are you still
young? 1966. Do you want to hear this story?
Yes.
Does anyone care?
Yes.
Okay. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. And
across the street from?
A lot of people. Hunter Thompson.
Hunter Thompson.
Was my neighbor. A lot of oddballs grew up in Louisville. A lot of interesting people. Peter Paul Mary, not all of them, but Mary did.
Oh, okay.
Mary Travers from Louisville, Kentucky. So anyway, I digress. There was this contest sponsored by the local rock and roll radio station called the 98% of the teenagers that don't get in trouble. Because all you read about was the 2% mm-hmm. that ended up in the drunk tank. So you send in a card, and if they picked your card, you got to be the teen disc jockey or newsman for the hour. So I didn't want to do this, of course, but a friend of mine sent his card in.
Put his name in. Okay.
Yeah. And but before we went, he went down. He said, "Garner, you got to go with me. Just keep me company." I said, "Fine, I'll go with you." So we went downtown to WKLO in Louisville, Kentucky, and there was another teen newsman, and he was the teen disc jockey and all that. And shortly before he was supposed to go on, he freaked out. He really started sweating. He lost his voice. He said, "I can't do this. I can't. I'm terrified. You've got to do this for me." Okay, I'll do it. So I became the teen disc jockey for the hour. And
they have to drag you off at the end of the hour?
No, I was a little afraid. I thought, how difficult is it going to be to talk about the Supremes? And, I mean, this is the stuff
66?
I was 1966. So the professional disc jockey said, "Hey, kid, have you ever been on the radio before?" And I said, no. He said, "Well, you are a natural." And, of course, being 16, and there were people looking through the big plate glass picture window at me, waving and hi. Like, oh, people like me because I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
They may not know that I'm a complete idiot off the radio, but on the radio, they seem to like me. So I thought this might be a viable career. My parents were thrilled, of course, with this decision. goodbye, doctor, lawyer, accountant. It was radio all the way. So I went to Indiana University my first year and enrolled in their broadcasting department.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then worked my way out to California and worked at KJAZ and Alameda back in the late 1960s, and I've been on the air ever since.
So it's been your vocation, not your avocation.
It has been
one of those people who has made a living at it.
It's odd because I ended up working at KVON for a couple of years over in Napa. I quit radio for a few years and was doing many other things. Said, "I'm done with radio. I'm done."
Why did you do that?
Why did I quit radio?
Yeah.
It just wasn't paying the bills.
Okay, yeah.
And nothing has changed in that department either.
Certainly not.
But the weird thing was, I was doing something completely different, actually, in the world of food in the late 70s, and I got a phone call from a guy saying, "Hi, this is Jerry Sonso. I'm the program director of KVON in Napa." Yes. "How'd you get my number?" "Well, you were in the phone book." And yes. "Well, I heard a tape of yours from KJAZ. Somebody told me, and we think you're terrific, and how would you like to be a country disc jockey?" But not only that, it's a 12-hour shift. From 6 a.m. till noon, you'll be a rock and roll disc jockey. And then from 6 p.m. till midnight, you'll be a country disc jockey.
Wow.
It was called a split shift. So I was desperate for money at that time. I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it." So I was like, I don't know, Big Billy Bob Garner or someone. I don't remember who I called myself. But I did this shift, this insane shift, 12 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday.
And that was before anything was digital. You were playing vinyl.
You better.
Maybe a bit of tape, but probably mostly
A-tracks,
vinyl.
A-tracks,
yeah.
Sure, and vinyl. So I got to know the repertoire quite well back then. And then a guy that was working at KVO, and he was hired to be a program director at KSRO.
Oh.
His name was Chris Hunter, people that listen to KSRO. So he called as soon as he got over and said, you really got to come over here. You'll like it better," and et cetera, et cetera. So in 1981, I went to KSRO, and here, 31 years later, I'm still on KSRO.
Well, on that note, I think we have to take a break. And
sorry to blab so much. Don't mean
no,
to.
No, it's wonderful.
I'm hogging your airwaves. I'm sorry.
You're my guest. That's your job. When we come back, we're actually going to talk a little bit about food and wine.
Just tears and 96 eyes. I got a garbage brain and you drive me insane, and I don't like it, so I push that pesticide. Baby, I don't care, cause baby, I don't scare, cause I'm reborn back at using germs.
Listening to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle and Jordan, my guest, the incomparable Steve Garner, and his anniversary present to Mouthful is so appropriate. It's so wonderful, and I'm not going to be able to describe it completely. So what you can do sometime this evening, there will be a photograph of it on Mouthful's Facebook page. I'll take some photos and I'll get them up there. It's a skeleton DJ wearing red shoes, a scratch DJ. Oh my God, and with headphones. It is so wonderful.
Do you want to give people a taste of what it sounds like?
Well, let's see if it'll work.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Here we go.
Then his little hands.
Hey, yo, y'all ready for a Halloween jam?
There you go. It is evil cool. So, since we both do food and wine, my dear. And one thing that when we get together, there are things that we love to talk about. Some of them are what we're eating and drinking. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are. There have been a bunch of new restaurant openings. Any thoughts about any of them around here?
Oh, there's so many. It's astronomical how many restaurants seem to come and go.
Yeah. Have you been to Sophia?
I was at Sophia.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
And is it Cafe Sophia?
Sophia. Taverna
Sophia, yeah. I think.
I like it a great deal because...
And that's Greek.
The gal that runs it is authentic.
Yeah, she came out of the SRJC culinary program.
Yeah, and she has a Greek background.
Uh-huh.
The food was authentic. It's about the best Greek food I've ever had in Sonoma.
So authentic Greek
food. Yeah. Wonderful. And have you been up there yet?
I haven't had a chance. I was not available when I was invited up, and I just haven't had a chance to
get
there.
Well, the courtyard that she's created, they had to undergo a tremendous amount of, engineering to redo this space. But now it abuts Copperfields on the other side of the square. And share a common wall with Copperfields. And they redid it so it's like a Greek patio where you walk in. They have beautiful murals of...
And that's one of the best things about Greek restaurants are those patios. I love them.
You feel just like you've entered into a real Greek taverna. That over the hill you could be looking at the Aegean. It's just beautiful. The food is very well done.
Tiramisu salata.
Everything you've ever wanted to eat. And I have to say, the finest baklava I have ever eaten anywhere. And I've been to Greece and spent a lot of time there. Never had better baklava.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what... what are they doing with their wines?
They when we were there, they had not gotten their license yet.
Okay.
She's going to be carrying Greek wines, and there's some really good Greek wines out there, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's going to be their focus. There's so many other restaurants on the square in Healdsburg that do that. I think they really want to create an experience, an authentic Greek experience. So I like that a great deal.
Uh-huh. What's their price range?
Very reasonable for entrees, $10 to $16.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. And that's great. I mean, for a long time, we've really had, when the Topolosses were at Russian River Vineyards, we had great flourishes. And then in its heyday, Papa's Taverna.
Yes.
So,
but it's gone through ownership changes right. too. But a lot of people never went out to Russian River Vineyards. And Christine Topolos and Michael Topolos, they did the real deal.
Yeah. Plus, they have the bats there, which are really cool.
Yes.
but they didn't do a 100% Greek menu by intention. You know, what they did Greek, I mean, their, what was the cheese, the fried cheese?
Casseri
cheese with the oregano and the bread. That was one of my favorite things on the menu.
Yeah. And you know what else they did? Well, mean chopped liver.
Oh, yeah. God, I'd forgotten about that. Absolutely. Anywhere else that you've gone? Have you been to Three Squares yet?
I went for a preview and liked it a lot. I thought it was really great what Josh is attempting to do.
And this is the former Syrah and Petit Syrah.
Petit Syrah. Have you been?
No.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. He's doing comfort food.
Right.
But very well done. He's a great cook. Josh is a great cook. Uh-huh. And they've redid the dining room, so it's very comfortable with a lot of family-related photos and archetypal photos, which is very comfortable. I like it a great deal, and I hope he does well. There seems to be a trend now that restaurants seem to feel they have to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I know.
And I'm worried about this because I think people are very predictable about their breakfast habits. I don't see them all of a sudden embracing new breakfast routines.
And I also think that I don't think most people go out to eat twice a day. So if you're the type of person who goes out for breakfast regularly, you're probably not going out to dinner regularly.
You're right.
I mean, I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I hope he does well with the breakfast places. But it's funny that you ask this because I took a drive around about six different restaurants one day, seeing who was doing breakfast business. Mm-hmm. And only the places that normally do breakfast business were really doing breakfast business.
Did you go by Jeffrey's?
I did. Hilltop? His was swamped. It was mobbed.
And Dirk's
was swamped. It was mobbed. So trying to capitalize on those two places, which are very distinct.
And they don't do dinner.
Aware.
Neither one of them
That's
do
right.
dinner. They do breakfast and lunch
That's
only.
Right. It's going to be tough. I hope Josh succeeds with breakfast.
And then there's Spinster Sisters.
Yeah. I've been there a couple times. It's a really unique space.
It's a great space and a great name.
It is a great space, and you said it, and a very colorful crowd that goes there. And I like it because there's young to old.
Yes.
It's a very diverse crowd.
I've only been once, ran into several people I knew, sat at the bar, which I really like doing.
I like their wine list a great deal.
Yeah, nice wine list. I haven't been for breakfast. I've only been for dinner.
Yeah.
And then you know the news about the cookhouse, right?
Yeah, the Evelyn Cheatham bought that.
Yeah, I knew she'd been wanting it for quite a while.
What is that going to be like?
Well, I don't know what Evelyn has released publicly, so I don't feel like I can say yet.
Mm-hmm.
But she's had her eye on it. And Evelyn Cheatham, of course, from Worth Our Weight.
Is she going to keep Worth Our Weight open?
Oh, definitely. She sees this as a way to actually increase income.
Oh, good.
I mean, one thing, Evelyn has had, is Worth Our Weight 6 years old now? Something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, this has been volunteer work for Evelyn. She is the executive director. She makes it happen. She does not draw a salary. And she recently resigned from Santa Rosa Junior College because for many years since she started Worth Our Weight, she's pretty much been working 7 days a week. I think it was Monday, Tuesday, and half of Wednesday at the JC, and then half of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Worth Our Weight. But her only income was coming from the JC. So Evelyn has this admirable quality about her. When she knows the time is right to do something, she does it, even if she doesn't have everything. Like, she didn't have another income in place when she resigned. She just knew she had to resign.
You know, it's interesting because I look at that whole South A the area.
I was just there last night.
But what I think of it is south of Market. How that area in San Francisco, that whole Mission area, never was anything. And that's become the culinary mecca in San Francisco now. Yeah. And I think South A Street is poised to do this with the Dirks and Spinster Sisters, and now Evelyn takes over Cooks. There's a lot
as
of energy
as it
in that.
Doesn't place. I don't want the culinary element to overpower or to eclipse the art element, because I love the art element. I went to an art show there last night, and I just love the work of so many of those artists.
Oh, I think they'll be very symbiotic.
Yeah, it seems like it should be, as long as it doesn't get too pricey. And so far, that hasn't happened.
Well, remember, Peter Reinhardt bought space there.
He had
the Junipers was after he moved from Forestville.
Right.
He took a chance on that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's been, I think, rocking ever since.
It's a great neighborhood. So, yeah, Spinster Sisters, and I like it a lot. Have you been to Parish Cafe yet?
No, I haven't. I've enjoyed Rob Lippincott's beignet for many months. At the market. And every time I run into him, he said, oh, it's going to be opening pretty soon. Well, Rob, give me a call. But I don't know if I'll remember to call you, but it'll be open pretty soon. So now it's open.
And what happened was, and he opened it like he should. I don't know if you saw my blog post about it, but I posted on my blog, Eat This Now, the first weekend. And he had been telling me, I'm going to call you in a week, Michelle. I'm going to call you in a week. And I said, he says, I'm going to have news for you next week. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, Rob. And he did what so many people don't do. Some people, they have their grand opening the day they open. And that's such a mistake. He got everything in place, turned around the sign, and opened without telling a soul. He was going to go through his first weekend and then call people like me and you and, you know, various other people. The only reason I knew about it was I had to stop by Devero Tasting Room to sign some books for them. And I'm driving back. And first of all, I have a great story for you. I'm driving back, and two driveways away from Devero is a sign, Kitten Fair. And I drove down. I was like, oh, this is where the Healdsburg Animal Shelter is. I've been wanting to visit. And, you know, my cats are kind of mean to Joey, so I thought maybe I would get Joey a kitten. So I drive down, and I'm in, you know, the waiting room. And the door opens, and out comes the vet tech in his vet tech clothes. And I recognize him. And it's like, Daryl? It's Daryl Roberts, the publisher of Wine X magazine, who was on Mouthful. I'm sure he was on Good Food Hour many, many times. The downturn in the economy led to the demise.
I haven't seen him since the magazine.
Yeah, the magazine quit publishing. So we're both, he's there, Michelle and Daryl. And his story is, when he had to quit publishing the magazine, he thought about things, and he says, well, I have always wanted to work with animals. So he went and got, I don't know what you get, I don't know if it's a degree or a license or whatever, but he became a vet tech. He applied for the job. They had no medical program at the time he applied at the Healdsburg Animal Shelter. He has brought the incidence of kennel cough, or, you know, getting colds. He's brought it from 95% to 5%. He has reorganized things. He has lifted that place up. He's only been there 20 months. So that is what, when it, you know, Daryl was a big deal in the wine publishing world.
But he found his purpose.
He did. And it was wonderful. We just walked through and saw some cats. And I was very much considering this little 10-month-old or 10-week-old kitten named Rex, who was one of the ones who had a cold, so he wasn't going to be free until like last Tuesday. But I went home, and my cat, Poe, Edgar Allan Pendolino, told me in no uncertain terms, you can't have a kitten.
Oh.
If you get a kitten, you will break my heart. You will remind me of my mortality. I will feel replaced. Look, I put up with you getting a dog. I don't even hit him anymore. You can't have a cat.
So from window shopping for the kitty, you stumbled into the Parish Cafe? Is that?
And then I left, and I'm still smiling about Daryl. And I see these people sitting on this porch, and the front door's open. It's like, Parish Cafe is open? So I backed up, drove in, sat down at the bar. Rob didn't look up for close to 15 minutes. He was just cooking. Place was, from the minute he opened the door, the place was packed. And he really hadn't said a word to anyone. And it smells like a new car. And the artwork is from New Orleans. And it's not Cajun food. It's not Creole. It's New Orleans. His family's from Louisiana, from New Orleans. Excuse me. I had a muffaletta because I had to.
Where's he get his bread?
He's actually getting it from Cousteau.
He is good.
Cousteau's baking it. Well, he was doing some cooking. You know, he guest chefed several times at Cousteau.
They're very close. There's a lot of family relationship between he and the Cousteaus.
But I watched as gumbo, fried okra, seafood plates. I watched all this different beignets. I watched it all come out. I smelled the
Is he still going to try to do the markets?
He will be back at the market. He said he's only taking a break while everybody gets their sea legs, and then they'll be back. Prices are really low. Most expensive thing on the menu is $16, and that is for a king, some sort of po' boy, but the king-size version. And he's got debris. He's got his version of Surf and Turf is a po' boy with shrimp and debris gravy. He's got polenta and what was it? Griade? Yeah, polenta and griade. He's got shrimp remoulade, fried oyster salad.
Oh, you're driving me crazy.
He serves the muffaletta, and you can get it half or whole. And a half, which comes in two wedges, is enough for two people, but I did eat both wedges. serves it hot.
Is he bringing in Jack's beer or anything like this? Or
you know, I didn't even look at the beer at that point. I just skimmed it really quickly. It's a hot day, and I was already thinking, oh, gosh, I have to get home. Joey's been alone. But it's, you know, it's sort of bare bones. It feels a little bare bones, and I think that's very smart. But one of the things that made me think of it is, like, these other restaurants, breakfast and lunch. That's all. Just breakfast and lunch. It's open Wednesday through Sunday. Open Monday, close Monday and Tuesday.
Smart. It's really smart.
Yeah. The only thing that's a drag about that is that means you can't go get red beans and rice on Monday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because he's closed on
Well,
Mondays.
There's not a more delightful person in the food business
Wonderful
than
man.
Rob Lippincott.
Wonderful man. And his cousin, they're Brandon. I think it's Brandon. His cousin Brandon came from Louisiana, come out for 3 months to help him get going.
Well, people have been chomping at the bit for this restaurant. They've been waiting for this restaurant to open.
Yeah, and it's a great place. And my guess and my hope is that maybe he'll start doing dinners once a night. But I mean, once a month, once a week.
But isn't it interesting how the Cajun phenomena peaked back when Paul Prudhomme, the 80s and 90s, and we had a couple
We had Sweet Georgia Brown's
and
in Montgomery Village.
Continental Cajun. Remember Continental Montgomery?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. And there was one other. And I forget where the other one was, but there was
but
one
there were two
other.
Or three. And then they lasted a few years, and then poof, that was it.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was running the Brass Ass in Cotati, I was doing red beans and rice. I was just doing a Cajun calzone. We were doing lots of that kind of stuff because that was when it was peaking. But now it's coming back again.
And we really haven't had that. Randy Lewis made an attempt for his several restaurants in Sonoma County. He just didn't do well. But certainly he comes from that pedigree and cooks that food beautifully. But after he left, we really didn't have anything like that. We had some Southern style restaurants, certainly Zen. Jeff Mall does a beautiful job
but he
for
doesn't
Southern
do New Orleans.
No, he doesn't.
Does
he does Southern style food.
Yeah.
But we've been missing New Orleans style food. Mm-hmm. And it's great that Rob's opened this restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great addition. Great addition in Healdsburg and in the county. Have you been to Rustic yet?
I have not.
We're going. you, John Ash, and I are going.
Okay.
We've been talking about that for a while. John Ash was going to join us tonight, but he was teaching this evening over at the CIA, and he didn't think he was going to be able to get here in time for the show.
And that is absolutely true. When he's teaching there, even when your class is over,
they want to talk to you.
Everyone wants a word with you.
Exactly. Exactly. So we've talked about what you've been eating in restaurants. What have you been? You are a great cook.
Well,
you are a great cook. I love it when you describe how you make your chili.
I'm a decent. You know, we've been eating a lot out of the garden because the weather has been so exquisite. We've been really doing frise like it's nobody business. I love frise
with hot bacon poached eggs and a light vinaigrette.
Every week, we're getting our favorites that we have every week, and frise just does so easy. I'm surprised that more people don't grow it.
I love frise. It's one of my favorite greens,
and it's a pretty insect resistant. And even when it doesn't really bolt, even when we had some hot.
Just ignore the cat. Ignore the cat.
Oh, it is a cat. I'm hearing this through my headphones.
That's an oops moment. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
So we've been doing a lot of frise salads, just a whole lot of salads. I think this year is probably the best year in many years for tomatoes.
I agree. It has been a fabulous year, and they're still good.
They are still cranking
it out. I
had tomatoes for dinner tonight.
I might. I thought I had had my last BLT of the year a month ago, and I'm still looking forward to it. So, and last week I made one of the best tomato soups I have made in so long. I used tomatoes from the patch. And I just used the soup that I've been making since I was at the Brass Ass. Really simple tomato cilantro soup. And, oh, it was so good. I finished the last of it for lunch today, and I bought more tomatoes from the patch, and we'll be making it until the tomatoes are gone.
Yeah, which,
so, great year.
We'll probably be having tomatoes, I'm thinking, possibly through to Thanksgiving.
That's what, if we don't have a freeze,
right.
If we don't have a freeze, we should. Another thing, what are you drinking?
What am I drinking? I have to say, I'm so loyal to Pinot Noir. I wish I could tell you that I'm adventurous and I'm drinking Grüne Veltliners and all these unusual varietals, but I'm pretty predictable. It's either filtered water. This is so boring. But
no, it's not boring at all.
I drink filtered water and Pinot Noir, and I do like to experiment with all the great beers that we have in Sonoma County.
Uh-huh.
My gosh.
Great beers.
I had a razor last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I dined last night? The Healdsburger.
Oh, okay. And how was it?
I love the Healdsburger. Have you been up there?
Oh, I have, yes.
What do you think?
It's good.
It's a good burger. It's
yeah.
a good fries.
Absolutely.
And sitting out there in the back there, it's
yeah.
like 1958.
Yeah.
It's really great. So I had a razor mm-hmm. with that, an IPA. And I'm drinking, probably experimenting more with beer than I am uh-huh. wine, more than any time since I was 16 uh-huh. years old.
Cool. And what Pinots are you drinking? I know you and I, we're both huge fans of Copland Creek.
Yeah, those are good.
And that brings tears to your eyes.
There's this humongous Pinot Noir festival up in the Healdsburg Square every
yeah.
year.
Did you go?
Well, I went to the first one in 2004,
uh-huh.
which was out on the river, and it was sensational. And I haven't gone for, what, this is 2012, until yeah. this year.
Oh, you
And
went.
I went
okay.
back. I went up there, and it was a great seminar with Ted Lemon,
mm-hmm.
who's just a genius, as a literary Pinot Noir, some of the best mm-hmm. out there. And there were 100 producers, and it was astounding how much great Pinot Noir is out there.
There's a lot of, it went through a bump, I thought, when a lot of people, maybe 10 years ago, were trying to do, one winemaker bragged about it, the cabernization of Pinot Noir, but that seems to have dropped off a little bit. Now, I just had some Sidoris. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And I didn't go to this event, but I did go to, what's the big Taste of Sonoma thing?
Yeah, the showcase.
Yeah, whatever it's called. It's yeah. changed its name so many times. Gary Farrell, and I don't mean Gary Farrell Winery. I mean Gary Farrell's Elysium.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty as ever.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really pretty Pinots.
Yeah, and I feel terrible ignoring the other varietals. I really do.
You know, when you find your varietal, I think it's fine.
But I don't just sit down and drink. That's the deal. It always has to go with whatever food mm-hmm. that I'm eating. And most of the time, the bigger wines just don't go that well with the food that I happen to be eating.
Well, that's the thing. John Ash always talks about how high-acid white wines go so beautifully with most foods. And I actually do agree with him. And I will confess, I love a nice Grüne Veltliner now and then. But I've been going through a period of high-acid, delicate white wines. I've been drinking a lot of Sauvignon Blanc, Vinho Verde, mm-hmm. Grüne Veltliner, Albarino. I've been exploring the partly because they are often lower in alcohol.
Yeah.
And I do have a problem with high alcohol wines. But I've been drinking those white wines, but then also always coming back to the pretty Pinot Noirs.
I'll tell you why I have not been experimenting as much in exciting white wines. The reason is...
Yes, I know why. I know just what you're going to say, but go ahead and say it.
You know, because Traverso's closed.
No, yes.
They
you
were
can't
my,
just go say, Michael, what should I try
well,
now?
Or Bill, they were my
yeah,
mentors. They guided me
yeah.
to a whole world of wines that I would not have known. I mean, I would not have known about without
yeah,
them.
Well, that's where I started getting into some of these other varietals. And I remember one day Michael saying, you have to try this Grüne Veltliner. You'll love it. And I did. And it was also, I mean, all these wines I was experimenting with were well under $10 a bottle.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's to me, one of the biggest losses of the community, and I still feel it.
It still hurts.
Yeah.
It still really hurts, and I still hold out hope. I keep thinking they're going to come back. I really do.
Well, we won't hold our breath, but we can certainly hope, can't
yes.
we?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you drinking besides Pinot Noir and Grüne Veltliner?
Sauvignon. I've been drinking Gazella Vinho Verde.
Never heard
I shouldn't
of that
even
one.
Talk about it. It's $5.68 a bottle at Fircrest Market,
wow.
and it's 11% alcohol. So that's like my nightly. It's been a long day. I need a few glasses of wine.
How nice.
So, and I had been drinking, I think both of us were, the Vieux Menant.
Is it 568 with tax or without tax?
Before tax. but that's what it says on the shelf, 568 a bottle. But I think you were one of the people, I'm not sure, but were you drinking the Vieux Menant?
I sure
Sauvignon
was.
Blanc? We all were. It was George Traverso's favorite weeknight wine.
That's right.
And it was $5.99 a bottle. Then the distributor caught on to what we were all doing and raised it to $6.99. It's not so easy to find. I mean, I was buying two cases at a time from Traverso's, and now you can find it at Oliver's on Stony Point Road. But it's not as easy to. You have to hunt around, okay. And it's a little higher.
Okay, still they carry it.
They do carry. They carry it most of the time, not all the time. So I'm drinking that, and I have a new philosophy in life. Not new. I've been inching towards this. You don't have to have a party to drink champagne. Mm-hmm. I've got a really good cap that will keep the sparkling wine overnight. So once or twice a week.
Is this some special cap you've discovered?
No, it's just of all the different caps people send me or I end up with, who knows, this one works. It just works. It keeps it effervescent. I might open a bottle and drink it for three nights.
That's a great idea. I still look at it. I'm old school. I still look at it as a special occasion drink.
But most people do.
But every time that I have it with food, I say, what? It's just such a natural.
It's such a food-friendly wine.
Yeah, it sure is.
And it makes you feel good.
It does.
The bubbles tickle your nose. And I actually bought some. I bought six antique silver champagne flutes at the Renaissance Fair in Sebastopol. They were like nothing. You know, I got them for a sneeze and a song practically. And they're really nice to drink sparkling wine from.
A sneeze and a song. I've never heard that one before.
I've never said that before. But so I drink, you know, I always, you know, treat yourself well. Life is short.
Yeah.
You could walk out the door and a meteor could fall on your head.
Damn.
And, you know, somebody says, God. And she had like two cases of unopened champagne. It's such a loss.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm trying to go through them. Whenever I go, there's no such thing as I get invited out and like, well, how important are these people? Do I really want to take my
favorite wine?
I'm no longer having that conversation with myself.
Oh, good for you.
If we get invited out, everybody, it's important. I take some of the best stuff I have.
Cool. That's I've got to invite you over.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, the hour's going fast. One last thing about what you're doing. Cookbooks. Anything exciting come across your desk?
Gosh, cookbooks. Boy. Well, this is the season, as you well know.
Yes.
We all know this is October through December. Probably 75% of the major books are released. And then there's a smaller spring release.
Then there's the spring release.
But that's actually much smaller. So what have I seen that's really good? Ooh. Put me on the spot here. Let's see.
Well, we got Bruce Idell's book on meat.
Yeah, we're going to have. You've had Bruce on. I know you.
No, I'm going to have. I've had him on before. I haven't had him on for this book yet, but I will.
It looks like a real good book.
Yeah.
We're going to have Hubert Keller on Souvenirs, his new book.
No, I have. I've got to write to the publisher and get that.
Yeah,
I would love to have
just
Hubert
coming out this week. Uh-huh. And it's a magnificent book that talks
Hubert's
about
great.
His career.
Hubert, of course, from Fleur de Lis in San Francisco.
And you know who I really enjoy is Ming.
Oh, really?
I like him.
Oh, cool.
We had him on the show last week, and he's got a new book out, and he was one of the most delightful interviews I've had in a long, long time. He said something
great.
That was very funny. He was an engineer, mechanical engineer. His grandfather, father, him, and his brother all went to Yale. And he decided he didn't want to become a mechanical engineer. He wanted to be a cook. And, of course, that made his parents really happy, his Chinese parents.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But then once he became this huge success and this restaurant, Blue Ginger in Boston, one of the greatest restaurants in the country, he said, now my parents love it because if you know anything about Chinese people, Steve, you know that they love nothing more than free food.
Oh.
He said this on the air. So he said, his mom and dad are there 7 days a week and they bring all their friends.
That's a great story. I would love to. I've seen him interviewed a couple times and I find him
very
quite,
sweet man.
Quite charming.
Yes.
Cool. Well, we've got just a few minutes now, so we're going to go back to the bacon contest.
Oh, yes.
So you have to turn in your own your own self-generated recipe by 5 o'clock on Halloween, correct?
That's correct.
And you can send it to steve@ksro.com.
It's really that simple.
Steve@ksro.com.
And I've noticed, of course, over 26 years, people wait till the last minute more and more
Oh, yeah.
With everything now.
I'm a writer. I don't. anything without a deadline.
So, you know, we've got a few recipes. I mean, you know, we got...
Oh, but you need more.
Oh, God, yes. We don't decide anything until 6 o'clock at night when I go over to John's house, and mm-hmm. we're there for 4.5 hours going through every line of every recipe. And mm-hmm. by Thursday morning, we've decided, and I call the four finalists. They'll go to G&G. We've got a couple $1,000 worth of prizes.
Well, and they, yeah, and I'm giving you some prizes. I'm giving you a couple books.
Thank you. You were one of our judges.
I'm going to be a judge, but I'm giving you one copy of Salt and Pepper because I have a recipe for making your own bacon in Excellent. That book. And then one copy of the BLT cookbook.
Thank you so much.
They'll of course.
On. So it's really the easiest is Steve at KSRO. People can drop the recipes off if they're not mm-hmm. internet savvy yet. And that's 1410 Neotomas Avenue in Santa Rosa.
And I'll post this information on Mouthful's Facebook page so people can find it. And then there's an audience. People can come and watch the competition.
A lot of people don't realize that they can sit there and enjoy our witty repartee. And then they get to eat.
Yes.
They get to eat the contestants' entries, which is the most exciting
Yeah,
part.
That's really fun, too. And I'm looking forward to it after accidentally missing last year's.
That's okay. You had other obligations. It's at the Ginger Grill, G&G, on yes. West College Avenue. But
it's on the west side of the store.
Yeah, but please don't wait. Invariably, we have people calling and emailing me Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to get your recipe in right away.
Halloween Wednesday the 31st, uh-huh. 5 o'clock, Steve at KSRO.com.
Okay. I'll do a blog post about it. I'll put it up tomorrow since you need more recipes. I mean, I would have thought you were flooded by now with bacon.
No, it's every year. It seems that the last 5 days is when 80% of the people decide, like, oh, wait, isn't that contest coming? Oh, I better get on the stick.
And they're all secret writers out there. You know, they just need that deadline. They do it on top of the deadline. And on that note, Mouthful starts its 18th year. Any advice for me?
Don't sum it up. Change a thing.
Really?
Honestly, that I thought that I had to jump on every bandwagon there was when I started broadcasting. And I was only after a few years in the business that I decided that's not going to make it. I can't try to be anybody else but who I am. Either people are going to like what I do on the air or not. I'm just going to be Steve Garner and that's it.
And you do a fabulous job being
thanks.
Steve Garner.
So don't change anything, Michelle.
Thank you, darling.
Keep that hairstyle, too.
I'll do that. And meet me back next week here on Mouthful. We have a really great topic next week. It's something I've been wanting to do for a decade, and I just hadn't gotten the right context. So what we're going to be focusing on is kosher and halal. The overlap, halal, of course, is the culinary tradition of Muslims, kosher, the culinary tradition of the Jewish community. We're going to have representatives from both communities. We'll be talking about the differences and the similarities, which have cultural as well as culinary applications. I'm very excited about it, and you shouldn't miss it. In the meantime, happy Halloween. Have a great week.
Story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.